Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to the Anxiety Doctor Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and today I'm answering your questions. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Anxiety Doctor Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and I'm always super excited to bring you amazing tools and tips to help you eliminate that dreadful anxiety. Join me every Wednesday as I bring you a new episode every week. One last thing before we get started, our full self-paced course is now available for purchase. You get all the lessons that I teach in the group coaching program at your convenience. You can watch whenever you'd like. This is a full self-paced course, but the first 50 people to purchase will get 3 months of virtual group calls for Q&A and meditation with me. Get your course now. The link is in the show notes. Happy learning. Welcome to the Anxiety Doctor Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, a psychotherapist in Houston, Texas. I specialize in anxiety. I too had anxiety back in the 90s. I still kind of have a little bit of anxiety, but I don't fear it and it doesn't really bother me. It's just the normal anxiety that we all should have, because anxiety is a normal emotion. But the panic and the severe anxiety has gone away for me. I've learned a lot from my own anxiety and from providing anxiety therapy for many, many, many years. So if you're new here, I want to welcome you to this amazing community that I have. And for my loyal listeners that are here every single week, you know that I love you and I appreciate you. So let's get started for this episode, episode 131. I decided to answer some questions. I've been getting a lot of questions via Instagram through my DMs and emails. And some of the questions are the same. Several people ask the same question. So I thought if there's several people emailing me or DMing me the same question, I'm sure there's more out there that have the same question. So hopefully I get to answer the majority of the questions. I know that there were a lot, but I'm going to try and answer as many as possible. So let's get started. The first question that I have here is, let's see here. Does anxiety ever go away? So I have an episode specifically about this, but let's answer this question here. So anxiety is a normal emotion. Severe anxiety and panic is not normal. So what do I mean by that? So the mind creates anxiety to keep us safe. It's the way it keeps us from getting into a dangerous situation. It is something that we need to survive. So a little bit of anxiety that's tolerable and doesn't create that panic is normal. So anxiety and that type of anxiety will never completely go away. We need it to keep us safe, but it's never going to be that severe anxiety. If you learn to not fear it, meaning that you're okay with a few little bit of anxiety once in a while when you need it, you will be okay. So the panic and the severe anxiety will and can be eliminated when you retrain your brain, when you go through the things that you need to go through, therapy, if you're doing exposure therapy, whatever type of therapy, depending on what the cause. Sometimes there is no cause for our anxiety, sometimes there is. So if you work through it, if you had some traumatic event that occurred and that kind of triggered your anxiety, if you can work through that through therapy, it can eliminate that severe anxiety. So just like someone with depression, this is what I like to explain. When someone comes in to my office and they have depression and they say, I never want to be sad a day in my life, I can never guarantee that. I can't say, I'm going to take your sadness away and you're never going to be sad a day in your life. That's not possible. Things are going to happen in our life that's going to create sadness, and that's okay. Depression, on the other hand, is a little different. So that is the type of anxiety that we want to eliminate, that severe anxiety and the panic. So that can go away, but anxiety completely will never go away. But again, once you learn to not fear it, once you learn what it is, once you have these coping skills and you retrain your brain to not fear it, you'll be okay. You will be fine. Hope that answers your question. Next question. Is it necessary to take medication for anxiety? And then they went on to say, like, those Prozac and Zoloft and Xanax. So anxiety is, I don't like to say this anymore. I used to say anxiety is one of the easiest things to treat without medication, and I still believe that. But some people need some sort of medication sometimes. Sometimes we start off with maybe supplements. Sometimes we start off with teas or herbs to help you eliminate that anxiety. And let me explain to you the different anxiety. When someone comes into my office and we start therapy, we start retraining the brain, they start to trust me, I teach them some coping skills, some ways to relax the anxiety and to eliminate that severe anxiety, some people still don't find relief. And those are the people that sometimes need something to help them. And again, what I like to recommend, sometimes people are like, oh, I'm desperate and I really want medication. I am open to medication already and I am wanting to set up an appointment with a psychiatrist. And I'm like, great, let's do that. But most people with anxiety don't want to get on medication. A lot of us fear even taking supplements, and so we don't want to take medication. So for those people, we start with supplements, vitamin D, if their vitamin D is low. We make sure that their levels and their blood work and their hormones are normal, because sometimes it can be hormones that are making our anxiety really, really, really intense and severe. And so we want to make sure that we're okay in that department. So for those people that have that, no matter what therapist you can have the best therapist in the world, it's a little harder for you to allow the techniques that your therapist is teaching you to help you minimize your anxiety. And for those people, I do recommend medication. For the rest, you don't need it. Some people need it. Some people can benefit from it. And others don't really need it. So anxiety is one of the easiest things to treat without medication. But again, some people need it, and that's okay. No one should ever shame you for not taking medication or shame you for taking medication. Find what works for you. Work with your therapist and your psychiatrist if you have a psychiatrist, and find what works for you. Advocate for yourself. Talk to them. Make sure you tell them your goals. Always, always, always talk to your physician and your therapist. So it is not necessary, but some people do need it. Hope that helps. Next question is, do you help people deal with anxiety related to medical conditions? Absolutely. And that's where I always ask my patients to make sure that they get their blood work done, that they make sure that it's not their thyroid or their hormones or, you know, something that's causing the anxiety, because it's really hard if you're trying to learn all these techniques and trying to retrain your brain when it's your actual physical body that's creating the anxiety. So definitely we want to always rule out any medical condition to be able to then go in and retrain your brain and help you to eliminate that dreadful anxiety that we all hate. Next question. What is guided imagery? Is it like Headspace episodes that they have on Netflix? So, guided imagery is guiding your body or your brain through imagery. So visualizing. I have a guided imagery episode on this podcast. I think it's like a bonus episode. So if you're interested in wanting to learn meditation, I always recommend you start with a guided meditation. So guided imagery is a meditation that you use to imagine. So it's guided. So someone is telling you, imagine the wave, imagine the beach, imagine this beautiful place, whatever it is that the script or the teacher is teaching you. It's a guided meditation using imagery. Very, very helpful for those that are just wanting to learn or just learning how to meditate. Sometimes it's hard when you don't have a guided meditation. Our minds wander off and we think, am I doing this right? And even sometimes with guided imagery, some of my patients are kind of hard on themselves and they want to make sure that they're not doing it wrong. And there's no such thing as doing meditation wrong. Learning just to be mindful and learning to clear your negative stress and thoughts, and not completely clear your mind, because that never really is possible, but clearing those thoughts that continue to come through your mind that keep you from relaxing. Next question is, can I make a change on my diet to be able to control anxiety? Does food cause anxiety? So I have an episode about food, and I also have Dr. Uma, who wrote a book about food and how food can heal us and can also cause anxiety. So she talks about the different foods. I definitely think that one of the reasons why we see more and more people with anxiety is because we eat way different than our parents ate. In, you know, a few years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't really see a lot of the things that we see now. Almost every single food has preservatives. Cows and chickens are injected with hormones so they could grow faster and we can have bigger pieces of chicken. And so those hormones, they don't just magically go away. We're eating those foods. And so guess what? We're ingesting those chemicals that the chickens and the cows have eaten or have gotten, you know, just so many different chemicals that these cows and chickens have and pigs get injected. And it's just, you know, something that really, really, really pisses me off that the food industry is poisoning us with all the preservatives, all the things that we now see in our food here in the United States. Other countries have stricter laws, but here in the United States, it's a lot of profit before people, which sucks. So definitely there are foods that do cause us to get a little bit more anxious. And then there's foods that can help us. I do have an episode. I do also have a food list. I need to make sure that that food list is current on my website. But I will be posting that link on my, I think it's the homepage. If you go to my website, on the homepage, towards the end of the page, to scroll down, there is a form for you to fill out, and you will get the anti-anxiety food list that I've just created just from my own personal experience. So it's not, I'm not a nutritionist. It's just what I've learned, what I've seen from not only me, but my patients. So if you want that list, feel free to request it. And it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Next question. Does lack of sleep make anxiety worse? So, I don't want you to worry about your sleep, but if you're not sleeping well, yes, it can trigger your anxiety. Lack of sleep makes us irritable and frustrated. It affects our mood and it can trigger our anxiety. But the more you worry about sleep, the harder it is for us to fall asleep. So don't worry too much. Find techniques that help you. Don't be on your phone at least 45 minutes before you want to fall asleep. Practice meditation, deep breathing. There's so many different things that you can do. And with the way technology is now that we have our phones all the time, it's a little harder for us to fall asleep. We're on our phones. The blue light activates our brain, stimulates the brain for us to wake up. So there's so many different things that we can tweak in our life to help us to fall asleep. But again, do not worry about sleep. The more we worry, the more we're counting down the hours. I can't sleep. It's 2 o'clock. Now it's 3. I only have 3 more hours. If I fall asleep right now, all that creates more stress and can trigger anxiety and prevent us from falling asleep. So try not to worry so much. Next question. Is anxiety caused by childhood trauma? I hear that it's always about something that people experienced as a child. So while there can be triggers, there can be traumas that you've been through as a child that can trigger your anxiety, but not everyone that has anxiety has childhood trauma. Sometimes it's trauma that occurs when you're an adult. Sometimes it's something that happened to you. Sometimes it's something that nothing happened to you. Or I want to rephrase that. Sometimes it's nothing. No traumatic event. Nothing really happened to you. And you have anxiety. So I know that there's a few people out there that have said that everyone that suffers from anxiety has had some sort of childhood trauma or something in their childhood that caused them to become anxious. That's not necessarily true. There's people that have never had anxiety, and all of a sudden, when they're older, it just happens. Your hormones, what you're eating, you are under a lot of stress. It can happen to anyone. Now, there are things, and I'm going to create a podcast specifically about things that we go through as a child that can cause anxiety. But usually people that have that type of experience as a child, usually the anxiety starts in your childhood. Not all the time, but most times. So I will create an episode specifically about childhood trauma and things that might have triggered our anxiety. Sometimes religion. I know this is a sensitive subject, but yes, I've had a lot of clients that have severe anxiety because of the expectations of the things that they have learned as children, that religion kind of puts fear in them. But again, I will create a podcast specifically for that. So the answer is not everyone with anxiety has childhood trauma. Next question. Is practicing gratitude help cure your anxiety? So they're asking, is practicing gratitude, does it help cure your anxiety? So practicing gratitude is helpful for us to feel good. When we feel good, it's a little harder for us to feel anxious. But when we have anxiety, it's really hard for us to think of the things that we're grateful for. Now, we can think of them, but sometimes thinking of the things that we should feel grateful for kind of triggers our anxiety, or it triggers not necessarily our anxiety, but we beat ourselves up and think, well, I have all these things going well in my life. Why do I have anxiety? We think that because everything is going great in our life, in our career, in our relationships, that we shouldn't have anxiety. We already kind of beat ourselves up for that. So sometimes practicing gratitude is really hard because of that. And when we have severe anxiety, it's really, really, really hard for us to see the good in the day, the gratitude and the things that we feel grateful for. And you know me, I'm not a big fan of positive affirmations when you have severe anxiety, because it's really hard for you to believe it. If you're having severe panic and you're trying to practice gratitude, it's a little hard. It's hard for us to say, I'm so grateful for everything that I have, and I have wonderful people around me, and it's really, really hard. Now, once you start feeling better and your anxiety is not as severe and you are able to believe the things that you say, then you can start practicing gratitude. Gratitude does help remembering the things that we have in our life, the things that we have done. And even when you're recovering, practicing gratitude for that and being positive about your recovery and praising yourself about the things that you're doing that are hard or used to be hard is super powerful. So practicing gratitude can help, but it can also hurt us when we are severely anxious and having a lot of panic attacks. So be very careful with that. I'm not a big fan of gratitude when we have severe anxiety. So can practicing gratitude cure your anxiety? Not alone. You need other things to help you. Next question, and probably the final question, because this episode is already a little longer than I expected. Can people trigger your anxiety? That is a question. The answer is yes. Sometimes there are things that trigger us. Sometimes there are people that trigger us. Sometimes it's animals that trigger us. Sometimes we just have things that trigger our anxiety, and sometimes it can be people. If people are very judgmental and you're always walking on eggshells, that creates a lot of anxiety for people. So if you're around people that are very toxic, that are very judgmental towards you, nitpick about everything that you have or do or wear or how you look and put you down, that is very triggering. So definitely there are people that can trigger our anxiety. So those are all the questions that I will answer for this episode. If you have any questions, I will be posting on my Instagram stories a form where you can fill out anything you want me to answer. I will be doing another one of these episodes pretty soon, so I will be gathering questions that you might have for me to answer in one of these episodes. That is all for now. Always remember to be good to yourself and others, and I will see you soon. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Find us on Instagram at The Anxiety Doctor and online at www.drlisacortez.com. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time.